My dearly beloved in Christ, for our sermon this morning, I would like to speak about the epistle, which, like next Sunday, is taken from the epistle of St. James. Now, this is the St. James, the apostle who was called James the Less, because he was shorter than the other apostle, James. And we just celebrated his feast day a week ago, the feast of Saints Philip and James. Two apostles celebrated together on May the 11th. St. James the Less was left in Jerusalem by St. Peter to be the first bishop of Jerusalem while the other apostles went forth on their missionary journeys because he was the oldest of the apostles. And he was known for his sanctity, his holiness, his self-discipline, his penance. It was said that he knelt so much to pray that the skin on his knees became as tough as the hoof of a camel. And he was so ascetic that he was admired and praised even by the Jews as well as by the Christians. St. James wrote one of what we call the Catholic epistles. There are six or seven epistles written by apostles to just in general. And they're called Catholic, meaning universal, because they weren't written as St. Paul wrote his epistles to particular Christian communities. And so the first of these Catholic epistles is that of St. James. And it is a very wonderful epistle with many wise counsels. So I would like this morning to just reflect upon the section that we have for today of the Epistle of St. James. He begins, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, of whom there is no change nor shadow of alteration." Every good gift comes down to us from above, from our Father. And notice he calls God the Father of lights. We recall our Lord's words, "I am the way and the truth and the life." And our Lord also said, "I am the light of the world." So God is light, whereas the devil is darkness, is always associated with darkness. So he said every good gift comes down from the Father of lights. And not only does light indicate truth, divine truth, it also indicates grace and inspiration. Saints refer to inspirations as lights. In other words, graces that come to us from Almighty God. Now, every good gift and every perfect gift comes from God. But these gifts are different. And sometimes even the cross is a gift, the trials that we experience. Because if we had no trials, we would become overly attached to this world. But the trials we experience detach us more and more from this world and direct us more to heaven, to Almighty God, to the happiness of heaven, which we should always strive for. Now he says every good gift comes down from above, from the Father of lights, with whom there is no change, nor shadow of alteration. Now, this is something about God that philosophers speak about, that God cannot change. Because God is perfect, he is supreme, the supreme being, and if he could change, then he would have to become either better or worse than he is right now, but that is impossible. God is absolute perfection, so he could not become better. And he could not become any less perfect, or he wouldn't be God. So there is no change with God. This is hard for us to understand because we are very changeable. We are changing all the time. We go through our ups and our downs, our periods of joy and sorrow, our various alterations. But with God, there is no change, nor, as he says, nor shadow of alteration. It is interesting, in the Old Testament, the writers in the Old Testament always often speak about God as changing, as, for example, becoming angry with his people. But this is merely a human expression to get across that God's just wrath has been enkindled against his people because of their sins. But God cannot become angry, because that would indicate a change coming over him, and God cannot change. Now, our Lord, on the other hand, could and did change. Our Lord was subject to human emotion, such as sorrow. Our Lord wept over the city of Jerusalem. Our Lord wept when his friend Lazarus died. He became angry against the Pharisees. He drove the money changers out of the temple. So we see there our Lord in his human nature showing us the wrath of Almighty God against sin. But God himself, again, cannot change. Of his own will he has begotten us by the word of truth, that we might be, as it were, the first fruits of his creatures. Let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Be swift to hear and slow to speak. Often we are just the opposite. We are quick to speak, and then we regret what we said, because we said something we shouldn't have said, because we were too swift to speak. So let every man be swift to hear, but slow to speak. And he says, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not work the justice of God. Now, I was just saying how our Lord did have those human emotions and did become justly angered at evil, at sin, at the desecration of his father's house. But the saints tell us we have to be very careful here, even to allow ourselves to be justly angered. It reminds me of the words of St. Francis de Sales, who said, I would rather not be angry at all than be justly angered, because it's so easy for us to go into excess, to go into an uncontrollable anger, or to speak out of that strong feeling of passion of anger. So we have to be very careful to control our emotions, especially anger. Let every man be slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not work the justice of God. Therefore, casting aside all uncleanness and abundance of malice, with meekness receive the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Now that is a very interesting adjective, the engrafted word. So he's not only speaking about the word of God, divine truth, the inspired word of God in sacred scripture, but he calls it the engrafted word because it must become engrafted into our soul. So that word engrafted indicates that the truths of our faith must become part of us, must be so deeply imprinted on our soul that they become engrafted, the engrafted word, which is able, he says, to save your souls. So there are wonderful lessons in the epistles as well as the gospels. It is a good practice for us on Sundays, after you hear the epistle and gospel read, to read it again, reflect upon it, or to read it before Mass. And that way, by reading it a second time, to reflect upon these many little lessons that are contained in the inspired word of God in the epistle and gospel that we can apply and should apply to our souls, that we might grow spiritually and become ever more pleasing to Almighty God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.